For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Dirt Show. First, an update on Fonny Willis. By the way, my friend Alan tells me I pronounce Fonny different every time. Either it's Fanny or Fonny or Fanny. And so he wants me to keep saying D.A. Willis. So you'll have to excuse me. I apologize for mispronouncing the name. Look, the evidence is now becoming overwhelming that she should be subject to an investigation for perjury. According to testimony that came out just a few hours ago in front of this committee, the bipartisan committee in Georgia, we now have a situation where the two of them deny they had a romantic relationship. But the evidence now conclusively seems to prove, with pings from the towers, that he drove from his house to her home late at night at 11 o'clock or something at night. Then the pings stop, and then they start again at 4 in the morning, and he gets pinged all the way home. Now, there are people in jail for murder on less compelling evidence than that. I know somebody who's in jail today in New York based on pings, and the pings were much, much more circumstantial than this. I cannot see how the judge can find anything other than that they committed perjury. I don't think he's going to, because I don't think he has the resources to be able to look her in the eye and say, I know you're the elected DA, and I know I contributed a couple of bucks to your campaign, but I'm telling you, I think you committed perjury. I don't think he's going to find that. But I do think that this new evidence, and the new evidence now from another assistant DA from Cobb County, that she may have tampered with witnesses, and that this other DA has personal knowledge, apparently, that the relationship started earlier. There's just no way that the judge can find that there's no conflict of interest. He may find, and probably the easy way out is to say, look, I don't have to get into whether it's perjury or not. I don't have to get into whether or not there's a real conflict of interest. I am ruling as a matter of law that if there's an appearance of a conflict of interest, an appearance of injustice, an appearance of, you know, partiality of any kind, she can't proceed, and therefore I'm disqualifying the two of them without reaching the issue of perjury. Even if that happens, the Attorney General of Georgia or somebody in charge has to be looking at a possible criminal prosecution. Who will guard the guardians? Who will prosecute the prosecutors? We cannot allow a situation where the prosecutor of a very important county in a very important state gets away with perjury. It just is not acceptable. You cannot be prosecuting Donald Trump and 19 other people, some of whom have already pleaded guilty, for misstating facts or not being truthful when you yourself are not truthful. You just can't do that. And therefore, I hope the judge really has the cojones to do what he has to do and stand up to her. We'll see. He said in the next week or so, there should be a decision. I would think he should reopen the hearings and listen to this prosecutor from Cobb County and let it be taken into account. The only way he should not open the hearing is if he's already decided to disqualify, and therefore it wouldn't add to that. So if he doesn't open the hearing, it may be a sign that he's coming to a decision that doesn't require him to resolve the issue of whether or not she obstructed justice, tampered with witnesses, or committed perjury, that he's going to recuse them anyway. But if he doesn't recuse them and he doesn't reopen this, that would be a scandal, and it would be just dead wrong. Okay, so the subject today is Gaza and Hamas. Now, if you watch CNN, I just finished watching a CNN episode on the hunger that's going on in Gaza. And they just blame Israel for everything, everything. They never once mention the fact that Israel has accepted a ceasefire and has said, we accept the ceasefire and we will open up all the corridors and you can get all the food you want. Just give us back our hostages. Israel hasn't even demanded all the hostages. There's, I think, 40 of them or something like that, in exchange for murderers. So Israel is on the right side of this. You wouldn't know it, though, from CNN. And you wouldn't know it really from hearing even the administration, some people in the administration, at least. And now we have new information. And this comes from a very interesting report in Haaretz, which is a left-wing anti-Israel newspaper in Israel, written by their military expert, who's also very anti-Netanyahu. And so when he says what he says here, you just have to give it some credibility. The headline says, Israel defense officials suspect that the Hamas leader wants violence to spread to Jerusalem and the West Bank and is digging in his heels to thwart a ceasefire. Yahweh Sinwa, who's the evil devil, the small-time Adolf Hitler that operates in Gaza today, he's the guy who brought us October 7th with the rapes and the beheadings and the murders. He's proud of it. He's hiding somewhere like a rat in a tunnel, but he's now doing everything in his power to prevent a ceasefire. And so all you useful idiots who are marching on the streets, who protested yesterday at the Democratic Victory Party of Adam Schiff, screaming, ceasefire, ceasefire, start protesting for a ceasefire against Hamas. That's where the protest should be. Demand of Hamas that they have a ceasefire. Stop demanding that Israel give you a ceasefire. Israel has already agreed to a ceasefire. You idiots don't know what you're talking about. You're such a bunch of bigots and anti-Semites and anti-Israel people that it doesn't matter what Israel does. All you care about is what Israel is. The nation state of the Jewish people. And you can't abide by that because from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. You don't even know what rivers you're talking about. You don't know the difference between Palestine and Palisades. You're a bunch of useful idiots who just march to the tune of any communist or left-wing or hard socialist group that hates Israel. And now we have a clear situation where it's Hamas, the leader of Hamas, even President Biden has now said, according to this article, U.S. President Joe Biden put the ball in Hamas's court Tuesday night, telling journalists that Israel had responded positively to the proposal drawn up by the United States and Egypt and Qatar. It was now up to Hamas to do the same. We'll know in a couple of days. There's got to be a ceasefire, he says. If we get to the circumstances that it continues to Ramadan, it's going to be very dangerous. Now, Sinwa, this small-time Adolf Hitler, Sinwar wants to get to Ramadan because he thinks if they're still fighting in Ramadan, which is a religious holiday, the fighting will increase and the intensity will increase because of the religion. Here, due to the religious character of the Ramadan period, Sinwar is hoping to set off a regional conflagration, inflaming Jerusalem and the West Bank and perhaps mass demonstrations in neighboring Arab countries. It looks like another big gamble on top of the gamble the Hamas leadership took in October. So this guy who ought to be captured, ought to be put on trial for mass murder, this guy is the one who's at fault. And every single one of you is demonstrating, every one of you, including my friends' children and my relatives' children, the ones who are demonstrating for Hamas, stop it. Demonstrate against Hamas. Tell the world that you understand that it's Hamas who's stopping the ceasefire. This guy, Sinwar, wants dead Palestinian babies. That's his goal. That's been his goal from the beginning. The more dead babies can be shown on television, the more people can be shown that people, Palestinian children, are dying of malnutrition and dehydration. They're going to blame it on Israel, but Israel is not at fault. Israel has agreed to the ceasefire. Here, according to this article, Xinhua has adopted a new strategy. He's become less interested in the deal and instead is counting on a regional explanation with the onset of Ramadan. And now, here, this is the key sentence. Until now, the local leadership, this is Xinhua, hidden away in tunnels like a bunch of rats, the local leadership hidden away in tunnels has shown an abysmal indifference to Gazan residents who are struggling to find food. They do not give a damn about the children of Gaza. They don't care about the women. They just want to count them. They have what I call the dead baby strategy. Use children as human shields. By the way, I debated a Palestinian leader the other day on Piers Morgan, and he categorically denied that they use human shields. Well, I tripped him up a little bit. I quoted, and I have a videotape of it, a videotape of a Palestinian leader, a Gazan leader, a leader of Hamas, bragging, we use children, we use women as human shields. They are the martyrs. They are the shaheeds. They are, we're so proud of these women and children. We use them as human shields. And this guy is denying that Hamas is using human shields when Hamas itself brags about using human shields. I debated somebody today on Dubai television. Again, what evidence do you have? What evidence do you have that Hamas is using human shields? Well, let me give you this videotape. Here it is. Here's the leaders. And there are three or four of them, of Hamas leaders, bragging about the use of human shields. Everybody knows it. By the way, these guys also deny that there were rapes. They are rape deniers. They're like small-time Holocaust. Oh, there are no rapes. There were no, that's an Israeli story. If there were any rapes, the Israelis probably raped their own people in order to be able to say that the Palestinians raped them. No, 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 there's evidence. The New York Times found evidence. The United Nations, neither of them particularly pro-Israel organizations, found evidence under the United Nations rule. They said it was clear and convincing. That's a very high standard of proof. Clear and convincing. Not only that Hamas raped, but that it was part of their plan to rape. It was part of their systematic effort to try to rape. And yet these deniers, I'm sure they're Holocaust deniers too, these deniers will deny anything and will make up stories. And what I'm concerned about is these kids, these college kids, don't they know that Xinhua and Hamas wants Palestinian children to die? The more, the better. The dead baby strategy is you put your babies in front of rockets, you fire the rockets, you hope Israel will then respond, kill some babies, you're ready to carry the babies in front of CNN cameras, and this woman from CNN, obviously, who's totally on the side of Hamas, will in a very somber voice say, and here another baby killed by Israel, without explaining for 1 second that this baby was killed by Hamas. This baby is used deliberately as a human shield. By the way, when you hear that 30,000 Gazans were killed, don't believe a word of it. Let's assume it's true that altogether 30,000 people were killed in Gaza. They don't even distinguish between combatants and non-combatants, probably half of them are combatants, but Israel says 13,000 are combatants. And of the 17,000 that are left, how many are innocent civilians that were killed by Israel? First, some of them were killed by misfired rockets from Islamic Jihad and from Hamas. 20% of all the rockets fired at Israel misfire and land in Gaza. Second, probably another 3,000 or 4,000, maybe more, are complicit. They're not combatants, but they allow themselves to be used as human shields. They allow their homes to be used to dig tunnels under. They allow themselves to be used to fire rockets from behind them. Those are not innocent people. Those are not innocent people. And what about the people that Hamas itself, the Gazans that Hamas itself has killed because they didn't follow their instructions and they were heading toward shelter when they wanted them to be in harm's way? Of the 30,000 people, if there are 30,000, probably the figure is half of that. But if there are 30,000 who are actually killed, the vast majority of those deaths are attributable in law, in morality, in science, and in every other way to Hamas. You wouldn't believe it if you saw CNN. You wouldn't believe it, mostly if you read the New York Times. You wouldn't believe it if you listened to some people in the government, even some senators, including some, Jamie Raskin and other senators and congressmen like Raskin, who blame everything on Israel. The truth has to come out. And it has to come out if you're not going to be guilty of bigotry and anti-Semitism. You can't just point the finger at the nation state of the Jewish people. It can't be what the Me Too movement does. Me Too says, Me Too, except if you're a Jew. Oh, we don't believe there were rapes. There were no rapes. What's the evidence? Do you have any people who testify they were raped? No, they were all killed. No, you don't have people who can testify they were raped. You have their bodies, photographs with their private parts shot at and bleeding. You have the most compelling evidence of rapes. You have eyewitnesses who saw rapes. And yet, no, we don't believe that. People accused a justice of the Supreme Court who was up for nomination, Justice Kavanaugh, and there were holes in the story, we said, well, you have to believe. If somebody says they were sexually assaulted, the left says you have to believe it, except if the person assaulted is a Jew or an Israeli. Then you don't believe it. Then you say Jews and Israelis lie. Women don't lie, but Jews and Israelis lie, even if they're women. And so this kind of double standard in which the Jewish state and Jewish people are judged differently from other people is so inconsistent with the American way. Shame on these protesters. Shame on those people who are blocking subways and blocking meetings and screaming and yelling, including people who try to shout me down recently at a speech. And they claim genocide. No. Genocide is what happened to the Jews, not what the Jews did. Genocide is when 6 million Jews were led to their deaths in gas chambers and crematoria and shooting and mass roundups and Babi Yar, and they were killed just because they were Jewish. These were not collateral deaths. These were the intended. In fact, the Nazis went out of their way to kill Jews, even if it hurt their war effort. What Israel is doing has nothing to do with that. Israel is trying to defend itself against a recurrence, which has been promised for Ramadan, of the butchery that occurred on October 7th. And in the process, because Hamas uses human shields, innocent civilians have been killed. How many, we don't know, but innocent civilians have been killed. That's not genocide. If Israel wanted to commit genocide against the Palestinian people, it would be the easiest thing in the world for them to do it. They have overwhelming military superiority, but they take such great effort to avoid killing civilians because every civilian that dies is bad for Israel. And every civilian that dies is good for Hamas. Hamas wants civilians to die. Israel does not want civilians to die. If Israel could invent a bomb that killed only Hamas members and not a single innocent person, they would do anything to get that bomb. That's not genocide. That's doing what the United States and Great Britain did. Israel has been much better than, for example, the United States at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and I support what the United States did at Hiroshima, not Nagasaki, not the second bomb. I support the first bomb because there was a trade-off. Either 100,000 Japanese would die or 100,000 American soldiers and Marines would die, and a country is entitled to prefer its own, especially when it was attacked as it was on Pearl Harbor. I'm not a fan of what happened at Dresden with firebombing or what happened in Tokyo with firebombing. Israel hasn't done that. Israel has tried as best it can to have surgical strikes. It doesn't always work, and there are people who die in the process. Many more die because they're being used as human shields. If Hamas didn't build its tunnels underneath Hamaspitals, remember that term? My son invented that term, Hamaspitals. Elon, thank you. And Hamas builds its hospitals on top of the tunnels and builds the tunnels under the hospitals. Who gets to go in the tunnels, by the way? Not the civilians. There are no shelters ever built by Hamas for a civilian. Why? Because Hamas wants civilians to die. Israel has shelters, billions of dollars worth of shelters all over the country to reduce the number of civilian deaths. But Hamas doesn't have a single shelter. The only shelters it has are used for Hamas fighters under the ground tunnels. But you can't find a shelter that's designed for children or designed for women or designed for anyone else who is not a Hamas fighter. And so this is a one-sided moral issue. And these marchers and these useful idiots who are going along are just morally on the wrong side. And it's so important to call them out on that. But nobody's doing that. Even the United States government falls short. Every speech by every United States government official, whether it be the President of the United States, the Secretary of State, should start by saying every death is the fault of Hamas. Human shields. This would never have happened if you hadn't started the war by murdering and raping. Start that way and then say, what could Israel do to improve the situation? Maybe it should be a little bit more surgical. Fair point. Maybe it should open up this entry point instead of that one. Fair point. All of those are fair criticisms, but not to blame Israel for 30,000 deaths without even telling us how many of these deaths are combatants. And Hamas knows the answer. When it sees a dead person, it knows whether it's wearing a Hamas uniform. It knows the name of the person. It has issued a list of the names of 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds because that's obviously in their interest, but it's never issued a list with the names of the 19-year-olds or the 18-year-olds or the 30-year-olds. Are they combatants or are they civilians? This is so one-sided. And it's going to happen again. And if Hamas is not stopped in Gaza, they're coming to a theater near you. Believe me, they're coming to a theater near you. And worry during Ramadan, because Ramadan is used by extremists both ways. It didn't stop Egypt from attacking Israel on Yom Kippur, which was also the first day of Ramadan. Ramadan can be used both as a sword and a shield. Don't attack us, it's Ramadan. We'll attack you, though, it's Ramadan. No, you can't have it both ways. If you want to have a ceasefire during Ramadan, fine. Hamas has to agree with the ceasefire, and they have to free hostages. And remember what the hostages exchange looks like. They want to exchange an innocent 3-year-old who is being held by Hamas in Gaza. An innocent 3-year-old gets released in exchange for somebody who raped and murdered on October 7th. Is that a symmetrical trade? Is that a fair trade? Of course not. But Israel is prepared to give up much in order to get American hostages back and Israeli hostages back. I hope that before long, there can be a ceasefire in exchange, but don't count on Hamas to accept it, because at the moment it seems that Hamas's strategy is encourage more civilian deaths, more dead babies, more dead women, and then parade around and have people march and say, oh my God, they're committing genocide. They're committing genocide. They're killing people who we use as human shields. No, no, the world's too smart for that, I hope. The useful idiots, no, they're not smart enough for that. Well, maybe they are. They're just hiding their smartness under a veil of bigotry. But we have to keep on this story. And it's really important that the world know who is to blame for all these tragic deaths that are occurring now in Gaza. Okay, let's go to some letters. Does the judge in this case have the power to determine Fani and Wade committed perjury? Yes and no. He has the power to do that as part of his findings. He can make a finding that they committed perjury, but he can't prosecute them for perjury. They have a right to trial by jury, proof beyond a reasonable doubt, and all the procedures that are relevant to a criminal case. I don't think that's going to happen. I suspect we're not going to see a trial for perjury based on the evidence that we now know that, in my opinion, at least, almost certainly, there is enough evidence of perjury to convict me under reasonable doubt. Okay. Oh, I got a couple of comments on my lip. This is the best one. Hey, Dersh, I thought you were in a bar fight. Well, be well. No, I haven't been in a bar fight ever, but I was in a fight, and I thought I'd tell you about it. It's interesting. It involved my son, Elon, who's the producer of the show and who came up with hospitals. So he had just gotten out of the hospital himself and was a little woozy. And we decided to go and have dim sum in New York. And we were standing downstairs from the apartment house and a cab pulled up. And and it looked like the cab was empty. And Elon, who was a little drowsy, opened the door in order to get in. But there was a woman there, and she was holding a bottle of wine, and the bottle of wine fell on the floor and broke. And so the guy who was with her opens the door from the other side, comes around, and goes like this and starts to punch Elon in the head, just out of the hospital, punch Elon in the head. And impulsively, I was like, I don't know, 77, 78 years old, without even thinking, I reared back and I punched the guy out, broke his glasses, and he ran away. And Elon yelled out, "Oh my God, you're Batman!" I wasn't Batman. I was just acting instinctively as a father. Let me tell you, though, my fist hurt me so much for the next 2 weeks that I hope I never get into another bar fight. I won the fight, but boy, did I suffer in my wrist and in my hand from having won that fight. But it was one of the proudest moments of my life. 70-year-old bar fighter knock. And the guy was 40-something years old, and he looked, you know, pretty big. But I caught him off guard, hit him in the jaw, knocked his glasses down, and he ran away. So I think that qualifies as a win. So no bar fights, but that fight. Okay, this is a follow-up. You fight with your pen. I do fight with my pen. Four books in a year, logorrhea, but I'm continuing to do that. Okay, this is another thing about Bradley in the Fannie Willis case. Fannie Willis. D.A. Willis, Alan, I'm sorry. D.A. Willis, or Willis, okay. Alan, it could be worse. Bradley left the firm because of sexual assault allegations with no filing. Possibly he was threatened with criminal filings, possibly why he was so scared. This warrants an investigation. We know that he was prepared to testify. We know he was prepared to say that he had knowledge that the relationship began earlier. We know he changed his mind. We know there was a phone call. And now we have to find that out. This is a very serious matter. It's always in the cover-up, as they say. This, if it turns out to be what it looks like, could be tampering with witness, obstruction of justice, which is a serious, disbarrable felony. Would the judge need to reopen the hearing if the new testimony would not alter the judge's decision? No. If the judge could say, look, my decision would be the same no matter what comes out, he wouldn't have to reopen it, but then he would have to disqualify them. He couldn't do this. He couldn't say, I'm not reopening the hearing, but I'm not going to disqualify them, even though what he has been told he would hear at the hearing would cause them to be disqualified. So I'm getting closer and closer. I'm not making a prediction. I'm getting closer and closer to believing that the judge really has to disqualify them based at least on the appearance of conflict. Okay. Why can we only hear SCOTUS interactions arguments and not see them? Feels like shadow government to me. It's an absurd rule. It's an absurd rule. If you can hear the justices' arguments, and we now know the arguments on immunity are scheduled for a date specific at the end of April, we should be able to hear those arguments and see them and see the looks on the faces of the judges. There's no reason to protect the justices from the TV camera. They're relatively attractive people, and they should be willing to be seen on television the way members of Congress are willing to be seen on television on C-SPAN, except the difference is nobody watches C-SPAN and everybody would watch this argument. The people seem to love Jews as victims, but when they are avenging the murder of their own people on their own land, not so much. I was shocked that it took all of 24 hours to change public sentiment about the situation. I'm not a Jew, but I clearly see what has happened. It was less than 24 hours. National Lawyers Guild, Norman Finkelstein, Harvard 33 groups, less than 24 hours after the murders and rapes and beheadings and burnings took place, turned against Israel, even before Israel sent a single troop, a single soldier into Gaza. All right. Remember, law professors became teachers because they sucked at being lawyers. No, that's not true. There, I may have been that, because when I first became a law professor, I had never practiced law. But a lot of the professors that Harvard has hired, I know, have had extremely successful careers as lawyers, some of them because they're so successful and became so wealthy, they could afford to take a professor's salary. But there are some professors that would make terrible lawyers. There are other professors that would make great lawyers. I hope I'm part of that latter category, not part of the former category. So we have a lot that will be ahead of us this week. You know, sometimes I wish I was on 5 days a week because there's always so much breaking news. But we'll get back next Monday and bring you up to date on Miss Willis, D.A. Willis, bring you up to date on what's going on in Israel. Ramadan will have just about begun or almost begun, and bring you up to date on everything else that's happening in a world we live in. Interesting times. See you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.